And this is animatronic dinosaurs. All right, all you listeners on the internet, I'm Ali Rosen, joined by
Matt Peters.
And this is the first pre-recorded session of animatronic dinosaurs. So, here, let me switch over some mics. Now I'm going to talk from here. All right, sweet. So,
how exciting, Ali.
How exciting, I know. This is our first recorded show.
That is insane. It's been a while since...
It has been a decent amount of time. So, here, let me switch.
A lot has happened.
Definitely. So, Matt, why don't you start by talking about the box office scores for this weekend. I'll be back.
It was pretty exciting. The Jungle Book, critically acclaimed remake, live adaptation, even though it wasn't 94, was far ahead with $103 million in the box office. And that is a huge success for the film. People are considering it to be a classic in the making. Second is Barbershop, The Next Cut, an unlikely sequel to have happened since the last one happened about 15 years ago. But that as well has gotten good critical acclaim with a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes. That came in with 20 mil in second place. Third, The Boss. So that total gross is 40 mil. And then fourth, with a big, big drop, Batman vs. Superman, which it only made $9 million in its fourth week. I mean,
wow.
it's made 311 in the U.S., but like that is such a steep decline.
I know. I can't believe that. Like, who would have... Not only would somebody have told me when I was a kid, hey, they're going to make a movie where Batman fights Superman, and I would have said there's no possible way, and then for them to say, it's also going to be terrible and tank at the box office.
Yeah. No, we're going to talk about it, though. Like
Definitely. Definitely going to talk about that.
What we thought with the film.
Yeah. Because it's definitely divisive. I know I have my own kind of...
Yeah. There's a lot of hate.
There's a lot of hate, definitely. And some of it's not warranted. Yeah. I have stuff I like about the movie. I have stuff I don't like about the movie.
Yeah, I did not hate it. I had a good time.
Same. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be... I'm part of the people who did not go back to the theater to support it again.
I did not go back. It was very flawed. I saw it the second day it was out. That's why, like, its first weekend had so much more money than any other time, because people like me did that.
And I saw it... I think I saw it the Sunday it came out.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we talk about the movie now? You want to do that?
Yeah, we'll open with some Batman v Superman.
What did you think of Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck. He was the star of that.
Yeah, I agree.
He definitely stole the show when it came to Batman v Superman. It feels like in general that DC is going to be going this direction from now on. Like, I feel like they're going to stick with... They understand now that there's such a great response for this Batman that they're going to push stuff like another Batman solo movie and a Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah, a solo Batman's going to happen, is what the DC head said.
Did they say Affleck's directing?
No. That's not definite, but it's just going to be a standalone Batman film with Ben Affleck. I want him to direct, because he's...
I mean, that's... I kind of think that's going to be what decides whether or not it's good or not. If they have Zack Snyder again, it's just...
Zack Snyder, though, he was good with the Batman scenes, I thought. It's just...
I don't think that was him. There was those rumors going around about Ben Affleck messing with the script on set. I think that was him who wrote the majority of the Batman part.
I thought the camera work was really good in those, though.
I mean, that's what Zack Snyder does well, though.
Yeah.
He does camera work well, but he can't, like... I mean, I know Ben Affleck messed the script a lot, which you can kind of tell why Batman's the best part of that, but... The overall plot and storyline is still something that the director and the writers will manage, and I think with Zack Snyder, he doesn't really do well with that.
No. Zack Snyder is a more glorified Michael Bay, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's kind of Michael Bay-like. Saying, I like a lot more Michael Bay movies than I do like...
Do you?
Yes.
I hate Michael Bay.
I hate him, kind of. Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
I hate Michael Bay movies as well.
And, I mean, I like Transformers.
You like Transformers? Do you like Transformers 2, 3, 4, 5?
There's only 4, and I like the first 3.
There's now going to be a fifth one.
It hasn't come out yet, though. 4 was awful.
Are you going to like it, though?
I'll go see it, but I probably won't enjoy it if it's anything like 4.
I haven't seen one since the first one.
First one's good. Second one's meh. Third one's good.
Actually, never mind. I did see a second one. I hated it.
Yeah, a lot of people hate Revenge of the Fallen.
It was so dumb.
Look past that.
I didn't know what was happening.
You gotta look past it.
It was racist.
Okay. Yeah, it was. But it's fun. It's a really fun movie to watch.
I don't know.
Batman v Superman was not a fun movie to watch.
Not fun, but I did think it had some tension.
Yeah.
The worst portrayal is probably Jesse Eisenberg.
No, not even close. Are you kidding? Jesse Eisenberg was the best part of the movie. He was by far the best. The worst part was Superman.
Oh, please.
Superman was boring.
He was fine, okay?
He was not. He was so boring.
Lex was horrible.
Lex was a great character. He put everything into it. He knew, I mean, it might not be the route that a normal Lex Luthor, but he put all of his like marbles into this one role, and he's like, I'm gonna play this as hard as possible. And I mean, the Joker from Dark Knight was maybe not exactly like the Joker was portrayed in the comics, but Heath Ledger poured all of his like talent into this one role, and that's what Jesse Eisenberg was doing, and he was great. He was sinister and evil.
There's a difference between not being exactly like the comics and then being nothing at all like the comics. Like, the Joker at least had the same like mantra, but here it was all about his father. And I know people are saying that it's not Lex, he's Lex's son, but I feel like that's a cop out when you call him Lex Luthor. And
you know, I think he was a great character. He was great motivation for it.
I would have liked him in another film, which wasn't a Batman Superman movie. Like, if he was just a villain in some like cool thriller, I would have enjoyed his character as the villain because he was good. But he was just too like glitchy and
Because he was eccentric. He was all over the place. He was kind of like he wasn't playing the calculating, super intelligent like Lex Luthor that the comic books portray. He portrays kind of like this kid who kind of was born into a bunch of power, but who's also really smart, and he just gets consumed by that.
When you talk about the plot being all over the place in this movie, though, I feel like a lot of that has to do with Lex and his discoveries of all Superman's heritage with the ship and how he can miraculously make...
But
no.
That's not his fault. That's the writer's fault, which is a lot of the issue. Like, you can say the same thing about Batman.
Like what? I don't know.
The whole Martha part of it. He stops fighting Superman because they have the same last name.
Yeah. It was literally about to kill him.
Like, that's... And you can't... But you can't peg that on Ben Affleck. You can peg that on bad writing.
Yeah, the screenwriting was not good.
It was atrocious.
I think the dialogue was that bad. It just... The storyline itself didn't make any sense.
Some dialogue handed out by Superman was...
There were a lot of, like, one-liners.
Superman was boring.
I mean, Superman... If you're going to do the character, that's what the character is. Like, I didn't think his Clark Kent was good. I thought his Superman was good, but his Clark was so boring. There was no difference between, you know, Clark and Superman, where the classic portrayal, Christopher Reeve, who will always be Superman, he had that quirky, awkward Clark at the Daily Planet. You know, he would slouch over, hide the physique. Henry Cavill's just out there being buff. Like, everyone can tell you're
exactly.
Superman, dude.
It's like, you kind of lose the thought that there's no way that his publisher had not figured out that he was
not
Superman.
Not at all.
Like, he takes his glasses off. Other than that, he has the exact same hairstyle, pretty much.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. And so, like, and on top of that, I just feel like, regardless whether he's Superman or, I mean, Superman a little less, but mainly as Clark Kent, he just delivers lines so, like, stale, and, like, it's like he just doesn't really know how to act. It makes me sad.
Yeah, he's a little...
And I know he's like Anakin Skywalker,
look,
like where
he has the look.
He's not given really anything to work with.
I like Superman.
I like him. I liked him. I thought Henry Cavill did a great job in Man of Steel. But
I don't think he was the problem with this. That scene with the jar of like the tea.
The jar
in the
what? Wait, which one was this?
The one with the Washington D.C. where Lex. Blew
up the
building.
That was great.
That was tense.
That was really
scene,
well done.
Yes, it was. I was very confused with what was happening, and I was like, "Oh, that's Lex's, and he's not sitting there."
Yeah, and it's just that, and then it explodes, and you just kind of go, "Then, they gave that great moment, and then they just kind of just let it go because like they could have made it seem like all of that was pegged on Superman, mm-hmm. that he was the one who blew it up and turned a ton of people on him, but. Instead, they instantly go, oh, it was this guy in a wheelchair who did it.
Yeah.
So like they instantly, and that kind of like takes away that whole point of that scene, which is a lot of what this movie does.
It does. The most useless character is Perry White, Lawrence Fishburne. He did nothing.
I mean, I don't think he was supposed to be useful. I don't really think he did. I don't think he was useful in Man of Steel. I don't think he was useful in this. I think he's just another character they cast a good guy in.
Yeah. Jeremy Irons was good at also.
Yeah, he was. He's intense.
He needed more going on, though.
Yeah. Like, well, that's why I'm excited for a Batman solo.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. I like the opening of the movie. That was really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I loved that when they started driving. And I was like, when that scene came out, I was like, what are they all talking about? Yeah. This is a really like fast-paced and fun movie. And then the rest happens.
It was very well done. And
the fight between Batman and Superman is great.
That was great. Yeah.
Like when
all
he said
grenades.
Yeah, and he says, "This is now you know what fear is." Like you're not actually brave. I was like, "Wow."
Oh, I hate when they use kryptonite, which you have to do. I get it, but then Superman gets to overcome the pain and still use his powers, like when he was holding the friggin' staff.
Yeah,
like I get it. He's not touching it himself, but it's so close to him, and you're telling me he can fly 100 feet.
Also, I was upset about Doomsday.
Doomsday. He served a purpose.
He shouldn't have been in this movie. They should have. I would have rather them create a new fake villain that Lex creates than use Doomsday. Because they just threw away what a great opportunity would have been for a Justice League movie or something. Because Doomsday is such a good character in the comics.
I want Cyborg to come.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the introduction of the Justice League.
Yeah. The surveillance videos.
Yeah, the Google Doc.
The awkward surveillance videos with the logos.
Just random insert of... And they, so, like, I've heard a lot of people talk about this. I love the fact that that someone at LexCorp had to design the logos for each of these superheroes already.
Yep.
It's like it was some guy's job to sit there and draw out Flash. A Flash logo. We're going to name him The Flash. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Aquaman, even though that like clip was bad. Yeah.
The worst part, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it's just ruining the franchise, is the dream sequence.
Oh my God, those were, like, you could cut those out and make the movie an hour long.
Yeah, you did not need those. And they just gave away a lot of what the Justice League is going to be, I think, or at least foreshadowing. And
I mean, and like, I know people talk about Avengers 2 being that one where they have to add in a ton of stuff to tie in the next movies, but like... They don't need to. Mm-hmm. They don't really, like, I bet you they can make a fine Justice League without alluding to five different aspects of it in this movie.
They should have kept Superman dead at the end and then, like, have a comeback at the beginning of the next one. That would have at least had some.
I mean, there's no real indicator that he's not still dead.
The ground lifted, dude.
I know.
That's what happens when he, like, flies. He's going to, like, just pop out of there.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, I feel like that last little thing was dumb. Like, I was, like, kind of... I was surprised that he like actually died. I was like, wow, you know what? That's a good move by them.
Yeah.
But no.
Wonder Woman was pretty good.
Yeah. I didn't like her human voice.
Yeah. Lex has the worst security I've ever seen in my life. When
Affleck no
can just
kidding.
Go into his computers.
Well, and Batman's a cyber sleuth. I've heard some people say that they were not a fan of Batman. They weren't a fan of his like detective skills, because he doesn't really use them in this.
No, but that combat scene where he just destroys all the thugs was a highlight of the film for me, where he just like takes the guy's neck and just stomps on it. It was just like, I've never seen Batman do stuff like that.
I like the violent Batman.
I like Batman killing people. I do, because this is old Batman. Yeah. He's seen some stuff. His best friend got killed by the Joker. Like, this is not a guy who lets people live when they're trying to hurt people. He's gonna take you out. And I enjoy that, because get over it. Like, you have to kill.
Like, and everyone's like freaking out over, oh, this Batman kills. And I'm like, if they do a prequel to this to Batman v Superman with the Batman origin, or not origin, don't get me wrong, I don't want an origin Batman story, but like a younger Batman story, he's not going to kill. Because that's just like, this isn't that this Batman has always killed, it's that he's grown to start killing.
I like how they show the suit of Robin, but I hate how they never reference it again.
Yeah.
But that just shows that, you know, he's lost a lot of things during his lifetime with the kids. That was very good. The I was like, we're gonna see this again. Bruce Wayne's parents dying, but with the slow motion pearls, it was actually well done.
Yeah, and I thought that the fact that they got over that they did Bruce Wayne's like origin in the credits, opening credits, was great, because like they had to do it. I know people are like, oh, don't do the origins. Like, that you can't make, like, you have to introduce a character and say, this is why he's him.
Yeah.
And so that was like the best way to do it. Like, yeah, it's like super quick. It makes sense. That's it. It's done with.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a lot on Batman v Superman.
I didn't think the 29 on Rotten Tomatoes is like, I would give it higher than that.
I would give it where Man of Steel is.
Yeah. I'd give like a 50. Like, it's worth seeing, but, like, just because it's a spectacle, and, like, you're going to have an opinion about it.
And, I mean, like, 29 is close to where the Fantastic Four is, and Fantastic Four is way worse than this. Like, this has got redeeming qualities, and it's something you can actually watch. Fantastic Four was a mess.
It was.
And I'm curious to see this three-hour-long cut that comes out over the summer.
Yeah.
So
the rated R one?
Yeah. I don't know how R this could get.
Yeah, me too. Transitioning, I heard that Fantastic Four in Guardians of the Galaxy, the director wants some of the characters.
Well, I've read the Infinity Gauntlet thing, and I'm guessing Guardians 2 is going to set up for Infinity Gauntlet. And there are characters in Infinity Gauntlet. There's Fantastic Four characters that are like very pivotal characters in Infinity War. So I'm not really sure how they're going to do it without them.
Your man James Wan's directing Aquaman.
I know. I love James Wan.
That should be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons I want to see Aquaman really badly.
Yeah.
Everyone hates Aquaman.
Momoa looks good.
Momoa is like the perfect pick for it.
Yeah. Just other news. Dave Franco had his Han Solo audition.
His Han Solo audition? I thought they're pretty sure there's one front runner now. It's the guy from Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar?
I don't remember his name.
Oh, the guy that the like country accent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, we'll see. I mean, I was Taron Egerton all the way. I thought he would have done the best job.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some other movies you've seen the last ones aside from Jungle Book, Batman v Superman?
I saw Zootopia.
Zootopia, what'd you think?
I enjoyed it a lot. It was really like the world they created was totally believable. They really thought it out. It was one of those things that like there was just so many little details that made it real.
So
I liked the characters. It was funny. It wasn't like laugh out loud the whole time, but like you were enjoying it, and it was very heartfelt, and it was definitely applicable to society today and like how people are perceived, because you have like the different animals, and that's like races and like backgrounds, and like you're stereotyped for something just because of like what you come from, and you have to break out of that. So like it's a great message for anyone. It's good for adults. I mean, it is like, you know, kids. I would love it as a kid, but I also enjoyed it now.
Yeah, and so is there like jokes that will fly over kids' heads in this?
Yeah, there's like references, and there's scenes like in the DMV, you know, all the parents laughed a lot at that one. Yeah.
Because I know there's like, that was the issue with Inside Out, was that a lot of kids weren't the biggest fans of it because there was a lot of stuff they just didn't understand. So is that same here?
This movie's so pretty, though. And, like, you love animals. They're all cute and everything. So I think just that alone will make kids love it. And then there's a lot of, like, inside jokes with, like, things in culture, like restaurants in animal form and whatnot. So, like, that's for adults.
How would you say this compares with the other, like, Disney movies that have, like, strong Disney movies that have come out in the last decade or so?
I thought this one was much more thought out. And, like, I feel like this was a team of people coming together and just wanted to create a world, and they did that. It's definitely one of my favorites, like non-Pixars, I'd say.
Okay, sweet.
So I'd suggest seeing that. Is there any you
I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane. It was that is better than the first one. It is like, it has nothing to do with the first one. So it's like they managed to set up this incredible thriller in this bunker, and there's like three of them, and it's just, it twists and turns because you kind of have to, you go back and forth on whether or not the outside's actually bad or actually like screwed up, or if John Goodman's actually crazy, and it goes back and forth this whole time, and you try to figure it out, and stuff says one way, stuff says the other way, and they keep going until the finale, and some people didn't really like the finale. I thought it was kind of not really... like
the point,
it's not really I'm guessing when they first wrote the story that part wasn't in it, and then afterwards they added it in because when they said, oh, Cloverfield now, okay, we got to add this in too. But like I was fine with that because I felt like it put it, the answer of that question of whether John Goodman's evil or and the outside's not true, or the outside's true and he's actually the one who's sane of all of these people, it answered that question in no way I'd ever imagine. And you just kind of see like these people just go at each other, and it's just kind of crazy to see all this. It's one of the best thrillers I've seen in a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got to get to that.
Definitely.
I saw one of your favorites, The Room. Room.
Room. Room is great.
It's a well-done movie. The script's great, but, like, I didn't enjoy it at all.
Oh, really?
It's just, there's nothing to be, like, happy. Like, what they overcome, you know, that happens, and then it's just more crap. So, it's just nothing I was like, oh. And, like, I get it. That's the point. Like, they've been through a lot, and it's hard to get over. Like, totally. But, like, Spotlight had the same thing with, like, what was going on. But that one, I felt like there was an arc of, like, success. This one, like, yeah, that was that. But then it just, like, dipped down, and then I left it, and I was like, man, that was just a bummer. The performances are great.
It does kind of feel like it's two movies. It's like the first half is them in the room, definitely. The second half is them out of the room, and there's different struggles they have there.
Yeah.
And I saw one of your recommended movies. I saw Spotlight.
Yeah?
And Spotlight, wow, that was one of those ones where you just kind of sit with your jaw dropped after it's over.
It's a roller coaster, that movie.
Yeah, and I don't know, I loved all of the performances, and I thought all of the actors and actresses did a really great job.
Mark Ruffalo's
really good. Yeah, oh my God, I loved him.
And that one scene where he goes like ham on all of them.
Just like, yeah, because it's just like it's such a powerful story from there. Yeah. Actually, I wrote a blog entry about it for my film class, and there's so much you can get out of it. And I mean, I don't think it's not going to be an Oscar that people remember. Like, it's not going to be sitting there on your shelf saying, oh yeah, Spotlight. It's going to be more like, oh, I remember when Spotlight came out.
Yeah,
it's not going to be one that people remember really well. So, I can say that it's definitely one to watch if it's on.
Yeah,
like it's great. It's a really good movie. And I could definitely see why it was Oscars.
I saw a couple like old, like 15-year-old movies that I was recommended: American Beauty and also Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I've heard those are pretty good.
I like both of them. I mean, they were different, like, but both I'd recommend seeing just because it's relatable. And American Beauty is like funny and crazy, while Eternal Sunshine and Spotless Mind is very original. It's not for everyone though, because
I've heard that
it does come off as a little like pretentious.
And it's kind of like it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like Her. If you've seen Her. So if you're a kind of person that enjoys that movie, I go see that. And Jim Carrey, I just want to see every movie he's done because he's very charismatic.
I saw three really different movies. I saw Fargo, Coen Brothers, great.
Oh, yeah.
It is like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Stan? I loved it. It's such a cool... Like, they know how to make the most atmospheric movies ever.
Steve Buscemi in his...
Yeah.
Great supporting roles as always.
It's really good. And what's his name? Plays the exact same character over and over
William
again.
William H. Macy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw two movies with William H. Macy since we last met.
Oh, yeah.
The other movie I saw was there was this one that came out, I think, last fall. It was called Victor Frankenstein.
Radcliffe
and
James McAvoy.
Yeah, McAvoy. Interesting. Just interesting. Not really. Yeah. It was. You ever seen Dracula Untold? It's the one with the guy from The Hobbit 2. It's kind of like that. It's one of those ones that's kind of this strange monster movie that's not actually like the original monster story, but like, you kind of go with it because it's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how I felt. And then to round that whole thing, like movie watching off, I saw Psycho, the original Psycho.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Wow, that movie holds up.
Is that the first time you saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, Alfred Hitchcock knew how to make movies and better than people know how to make movies today. That's like, that movie's still good 50 years after it came out.
Yep, I agree. Did you see I, Frankenstein?
I did not see I, Frankenstein.
I did not see that either. But
I did not want to see that.
Yeah.
I made a joke with my friend about it once. It was my friend's birthday, and we were supposed to see the Lego movie, but I told him all the Lego movie tickets were sold out, and I surprised him. I'm like, we're going to go see I, Frankenstein. And then we get to the theater, and I'm like, all right, this is our theater. He goes, that's not I, Frankenstein. That's the Lego movie. And so we saw the Lego movie.
A ride of emotion.
The Lego movie was much better.
Yeah. Taco Tuesdays.
Taco Tuesdays.
I saw How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Very good movie. Yeah,
that was good.
Very good sequel.
Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon is my favorite animated movie. Yeah.
I saw London Has Fallen, the new
one.
Gerard Butler.
How was that?
It was a B action movie. It wasn't bad, It wasn't that bad. Like, you know, the writing was horrible. There was some awkward moments.
I mean, is it Die Hard like or not Die Hard sequel like?
It's better than that.
Okay, good.
But yeah, no, like there were moments that were enjoyable, but you're gonna forget it.
Really fast. I feel like a lot of movies lately have been like that. Like I saw Triple Nine. That was a while ago though. Yeah. And that forgettable.
Yeah.
Recent one I saw, not somewhat forgettable, but kind of like not in a way forgettable, but I think it's just gonna be just washed over by other movies, is Hardcore Henry. Hmm. That was
what did you think of that first person? Was
interesting. It made me very sick watching it. And I'm one with who doesn't usually get motion sick, but that was really hard to watch. And it's really bad. It does not have good writing.
Is it an awkward movie? With the actors looking right at your eyes, like through the screen.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of weird, and no one can really act in it except for Charlton Copley.
He's good.
He is. That is his best movie. He's better than that.
You have to see District 9, man.
I've seen almost all of it. I've seen about half of it.
Oh, you have.
But like,
love that movie.
He's a very different character, and it's like he's so hilarious in this because he just.
Yeah, you said he plays like seven characters, right?
Yeah, sort of seven. Like, sort he plays seven versions of one character. Oh, okay. And he keeps jumping back and forth between them, and it's so funny. He, like, hits the comedy on the head all the time, and it's great.
Oh, nice.
But other than that, like, the rest of the movie was awful, except for the action.
Did you watch The Babadook?
I did see The Babadook.
That's good.
Yeah.
That creeped the crap out of me.
Did you watch it over break?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's like,
it's on Netflix.
It's that is one of the best horror movies that's come out in a while.
I rewatched Dope, because that's on Netflix. That's good.
I rewatched Rocky over break.
Yeah, nice. I've seen Rocky like 8 times in my life.
It's good. It's one of those ones you can keep watching.
It's always on television.
I saw for film class. I saw Magnolia.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Is that Tom Cruise?
Yes. It's a lot of people. It is a really weird movie, and there's a twist that happens 2.5 hours in that is just it is ridiculous.
Oh nice.
Very hard to watch though. It's a very long movie.
Really?
It's a long drama.
That's William H. Macy, right?
That is also, it is also William H. Macy. So I saw that. I saw The Walk.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I don't know.
That movie came and went really fast.
Yeah, that's
right. It had a lot of hype when the first trailer came out, but then...
It wasn't really needed.
It didn't really interest many people, I guess.
I mean, I've seen Man on Wire, the actual documentary about Philippe... I think Philippe Petit, and he's like... It's a much better film. The documentary is a lot different. I think I'd rather watch that again than watch The Walk. The Walk's just kind of eccentric and forgettable.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's gotten a little stale for me over the years. He was great when he was like first here because he was a young guy playing quirky characters and he was really good at that. But then he's like expanded and I don't think he fits like a lot of the things he does. But
yeah, like I think this was a miss. I don't really think he was great in it. He is kind of...
He looked very like funny in the... He's trailers.
Cartoony in it.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Kind of like, I didn't. It grew old really fast. His cartoon like French voice.
Yeah,
like oh,
he's trying very hard.
He's trying very hard to be cartoony. I think that's what the guy it's based off of is like. But still, it's like, it wasn't really believable.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the stories that the cinematography. I wish I'd seen that in the theaters. It is. Incredible.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's what... Robert Zemeckis is a great director, and I think he had... I don't know who his cinematographer was, but it was a great job. It was beautiful. Oh, nice. Really well shot. So, what's... Anything else you saw?
That was about it on break.
Well, let's do our top five next. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, we've had a top five set up. We set up a top five for you guys. I actually have two top fives ready. I have the monster movie one and the vacation one. So we can do two top fives. It's a treat for you guys today. Okay, we have two top fives for you. So why don't we start with the top five monster movies because we told them we'd do those. So let's begin with that.
What's your number five?
My number five. Oh, shoot. I don't have a number five. Wait, I do have a number five. I just didn't type it correctly. My number five is the most recent Godzilla movie. I love
Trailer for the new Japanese Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
awesome.
It
looks a little hokey to me.
It looks awesome.
It might have the old classic feel. To me though, I was like, this looks a little... I get it. They're making it look like the old fashioned Godzilla, which I get.
Yeah.
It's their culture and
everything. I mean, I'm just gonna preface this that there's a lot of monster movies out there. And I left off a lot of ones that people think of as monster movies, and I kind of kept it very specific about monster movies.
Very specific.
Like, they're very, very specific types of monster movies.
Is it, like, the same kind of genre?
Somewhat. It's like, I did not put stuff like Alien or Jaws on there, even though people consider those monster movies, and I do consider those two movies better than everything else on this list.
Oh, okay.
But, so yeah, my number five is the 2014 Godzilla movie. It blew me away. I saw it four times in theaters, I think three times on opening weekend. I love it. It's so fun. It is so much better than the, I think, Roland Emmerich 1999 or 98 Matthew Broderick one. That was awful. Sadly, and I totally thought it was good when I grew up, but
really,
no.
I thought it was bad when I grew up.
I'm a big Godzilla fan, but yeah. So the 2014 Godzilla movie is my number five. What's yours?
Pacific Rim. I really enjoyed it when
Hold on. I have it higher up.
You have it higher
up. So we'll talk about it in a bit. All right. Okay. What's your number four then?
My number four is Monsters Incorporated.
Monsters Inc. Oh wow!
Is a monsters film.
It is a good movie. I don't have it on mine for.
Yeah. Like, no, this was like pure childhood. And yeah. It's just. That's a movie that creates a world.
Yeah, it's great. It's another one of those. It's like no one really expected how Pixar could just turn out these completely unique worlds over and over again.
It's super different. You know, John Goodman and Billy Crystal, Man in the Ship, and
it's great.
They do a great job. It's funny, heartfelt.
Yeah, it's
an adventure.
It's just
has a good villain as Steve Buscemi.
It's unique.
Yeah,
it's so unique, and it just shocks me how unique Pixar can be.
Yeah. So that's my number four. What's your number four, bro?
My number four is Monsters. This is a movie, not the drug cartel one, I think. It's the one with the... It's an indie movie. I think it came out in 20... I honestly don't remember. I think it's on Netflix right now. But it's this couple, and they were... they went on vacation to Mexico, and during that time, a monster infestation broke out in this area between Mexico and America. And it became this quarantine zone, so they got stuck in Mexico. And their way back, they somehow get it. They kind of lose this, and they have to travel through this quarantine jungle to get back home. And it's just their journey going through this jungle, and like it's really subtly done and really well done. And it's all based on what they see, and it's like this kind of like apocalyptic zone area, like in the jungles in Mexico, and I think in Mexico. I don't know. I haven't seen this in years, but like. I remember it's very good. I think the sequel's called Monsters Dark Continent, but it's very kind of Cloverfield-like, which I now realize I left off this list. But it's a great movie, and I think people should go see it.
Nice.
Netflix.
My number three is Alien. I know you kept these off your list.
I did.
They'd be like, you know, number one and two for you, but like...
They're like in my top 10 best movies of all time.
I see. Well, yeah, my number three is Alien, which is gonna be low, but... I mean, it's not. I wouldn't die for the movie, but it's a great adventure. You know what I mean?
I could talk about Alien for hours.
Yeah, never like. It's not one of those movies that like influenced my taste like incredibly.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, it is one of the Ridley Scott knew how to make.
Oh yeah.
Like just, not even really like horror. That's so.
Oh, the moments in this movie are crazy though.
Yeah, like just the tone when they open up and you just hear like, you just see the spaceship just kind of empty. It's incredible.
Yeah.
The atmospheric. All right. My number three is Pacific Rim, which is your number five, right?
That is my number five.
Oh,
I could go higher with Pacific Rim. I love Pacific Rim.
Me too.
It's so fun.
I understand it's got like really bad writing and everything, but like no one cares about that.
I get like there's cliche like the training scene and everything. Yeah. But I mean, love the side characters. It's very funny. It's a good mix.
The robots are just great.
Ron Perlman with like the gold shoes is really funny.
Yeah, just like this in the scenes, like when they do that first fight between the two and the two versus three fight, then they drop. The music's just so well timed. You just see them drop and they all like move slowly. And it's got some awesome action.
Charlie Hunnam needs to like.
Harley Chunham.
Harley Chunham. That should be a name. He needs to do another like starring role in a big blockbuster film because I thought he was very charismatic in this movie.
He was good. I mean, I don't think I was watching this for the characters. For
I'm a fan of his from Sons of Anarchy.
So. Never watched it. I've heard it's good though.
Yeah, that's a good program.
Yeah,
Idris Elba though is the
captain. He's the best part of that.
His speech.
Yeah,
manning up the troops.
Oh,
that was good.
And I can't even tell you how many times I saw this trailer when it first came out. My cousin was like. It's a movie, giant robots, giant monsters, and the voice of GLaDOS from Portal. What else could be better?
This came out on my birthday in like 2011, so I went on my birthday.
It's awesome.
It was sweet. I had like the big poster in my room.
I got to see it in the IMAX dome at the Seattle Science Center.
Oh, nice.
It was... this movie is awesome.
Yeah. Charlie Day as the Doctor is pretty
He's great. He's such a good... And then the other guy from Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yeah. The guy with the funny mouth.
Yeah.
That Bane, like, pets. Boy, destroys.
Doesn't he end up in a trash can or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he falls into the ice.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens.
I don't know. Just watching Pacific Rim always gives me a smile.
Yeah.
Like, every time you think there's no way they can get bigger, and they just keep doing it.
I need to rewatch it.
Well, we definitely should.
Yeah.
Maybe we can see in the new theater.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. My number two?
Yes, your number two.
All right. My number two is another classic, Jaws.
Oh, my God. Wait, what do you have higher than Jaws and Alien?
You'll see.
Jaws is amazing. Yeah,
no, Jaws is amazing. That movie was like shaped my childhood. But this is also a monster list, and like I'm making a giant shark my monster.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine.
Like he is a monster, but like I'm not saying like it, when you think a monster, is it Jaws? I guess so.
My monster list is specifically large lizard creatures, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of why I left Jaws and Alien off. Yeah. But Jaws is It is what made the blockbuster.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It still is good today.
It's my favorite Spielberg movie, I think.
I'd have to agree. And like Jurassic Park's good, but Jaws is better. And like people say, "Oh, it made me not want to go to the beach." This never made me not want to go to the beach.
I can see that back then people did not want to go to the beach.
No, cuz like it was scary back then, but like now it's very dated. But the movie itself isn't. Like the movie itself
is very
good.
And that's a movie
of
performances.
Good.
Even though it's a monster.
Yeah. It's, oh, my God. And it's so well written and done. Like, it's just... Yeah. It's such a good movie overall. It kind of goes past the fact that some people stay away from it from the fact that they say that it's this movie that made you not want to go in the water, because it won't do that anymore.
I mean, it could.
I saw it when I was 10, and I was fine.
It scared me a little bit, but...
And I just think, like... I mean, but I think it's so much better than just that tagline.
Yeah.
That, like, I feel like people need to go past that and watch this.
I guess it's also downgraded a lot for its crappy sequels. Those are horrible.
Oh, my God. I love Jaws 3.
Oh, please.
It's awful. It's so great. It's so terribly great.
They ruined... They did, like, downgrade Jaws for a lot of people.
Jaws 2, 3, and... 2, I've heard, was fine. 3 and 4 are, like, hilariously terrible.
Yeah. 2's not good, though. Like, it's just okay.
It's not Jaws.
That's why it's not Jaws.
Three's a topic for another day.
Yeah. So that's my two. What's your number two, bro?
The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. I mean, this is an alien, so I'm kind of jumping off my thing there. But The Thing is like, I've seen so many old horror movies that I just personally find that are really dated. They just aren't scary. Like if you take Nightmare on Elm Street, when Freddy Krueger appears, they start playing this like fast beat 80s music, and it takes away all the scariness of him.
Yeah.
But The Thing is like one of the few ones that I watched. Wow.
My number one, The Thing.
Your number one's The Thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
To me, this is better than Alien.
Oh.
Like, it's the same kind of claustrophobic, alone, getting attacked. But this one's with, like, you know, the storm.
Yeah.
And I feel like the below zero temperatures make it, like, really believable. And Kurt Russell.
Oh,
like,
my God. He's great.
This is also, like, Sigourney Weaver's. She's great, but Kurt Russell...
Let's not get on the Alien versus Kurt Russell debate, because...
Kurt Russell is...
Ripley's better, but...
No.
Ripley's
no
so much better.
No one is better than Kurt Russell, man.
Ripley is the best
that is
action
a lie.
Movie character.
I don't like Ripley.
We have a long debate in our future later. But,
Kurt Russell is the definition of, like,
Kurt Russell in The Thing is a great character, and I love the way that they tear people apart in it. They, like, divide everybody.
Think of a monster. This one is the most terrifying. It can, like, do anything to destroy you.
Yeah, because it can just turn into things.
Yeah, it lives everywhere.
And the way it gets there, like, it's... I mean, I knew ahead of time that it was in the dog, but,
like
the way it starts, you wouldn't know at the start that it's in this dog. They shelter it like a normal person would do.
Yep. And John Carpenter knows horror. Like, he makes your spine tingle with this.
I think this is better than Halloween. I know people will argue with me, but, like...
No, me too, definitely.
It's
Halloween's
such a
campy. Yeah, the thing's not campy.
All of those are like the thing is one of the few old horror movies that is not campy, and I think that's an incredible thing. Yep.
I love it though. Like they start with the team, slowly dwindle down,
and no
can't
one
trust anyone. There's just so much that like other stories have, and this one like makes so much better.
The defibrillator scene is so good.
Yeah,
he like lights and drops his hands through, and they get cut off.
That's awesome. Like you know the movie. Tarantino's last movie.
Oh,
The Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
With Kurt Russell. You know, it had the same sort of vibe where, like, you couldn't trust anyone. But, like, the thing just takes to another level
and
with the
creature.
And, like,
they also have grossness in it. Like, they take the kind of fear of the unknown and they show what this unknown could turn into. Yep. And it's like the Blob on steroids.
Yeah. So, The Thing is my number one monster movie.
That is.
It was close with that in Jaws, though. It really was.
I could definitely, yeah, I could... I'd think I'd put Jaws above The Thing, personally.
Yeah, it can go either way.
Because, like, I think Jaws is great. But, okay.
What's your number one, bro?
I don't know how this wasn't on your list. You may just not have seen it. I think it is the definitive monster movie. It is the original Godzilla movie, Gojira. The Japanese subtitle one, I think, is better than the American
one. You know which one we haven't said? I'm going to say as an honorable mention is King Kong.
King Kong, yeah.
Because, to me, I was more a King Kong fan than I was Godzilla when I was little, but...
I think everyone grows up with one of the two. I mean, I grew up with a Godzilla, and it kind of, like, it's what I've seen almost every single one. I think there's, like, one I have not seen yet.
Maybe it's a West Coast thing.
I don't know. My mom showed me them when I was a kid, and, like, I stuck with it. And the original Godzilla is incredible with the oxygen destroyer, and it's all black and white. And
it holds up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not... Because it's not American, it's not campy. American, they made this one called Godzilla King of the Monsters, which is where they added in this one character from America who comes in to try to narrate it, and he kind of screws it up.
No.
And so, like, if you watch the original subtitle version, it's not campy because it's in Japanese, and it's, I mean, yeah, Godzilla is one of these characters who, he doesn't look as good in that movie as he does in the future ones, but the story is the best story of any of the Godzilla movies following that, because they really focused on this is a thing. This is like this natural creation that man caused, and man has to destroy it, but he can't do it by nature, and so they have to do it a different way. And it's this overarching story, and it's so good, and it kind of set the tone for what monster movies would be from then on. And it deals with tones like nuclear bombs, and because this was happening right after the World War II. And so it was like kind of Japan's commentary on, here's what happened in the bomb. And so like the power of nuclear weapons and stuff like that. And like it deals with like religion and stuff like that. Cause like people send out a woman as a sacrifice to stop them from having to deal with Godzilla. And it's a really, really good movie. And I think if there wasn't Godzilla, there wouldn't be Alien. There wouldn't be The Thing.
Oh, yeah,
there wouldn't be any of these.
So your list is sandwiched with Godzilla movies.
It is sandwiched with Godzilla movies.
So yeah, you're definitely pumped for Godzilla Resurgence, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And I think they did a great job with the new one. And I'm excited. Now, they did such a good job, the new one, and Japan liked it, that the Japanese company gave them rights to the rest of the Godzilla creatures.
Nice.
And there's a million... I could talk tons about Godzilla. There's so many good Japanese ones. Nice. Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, that's a good one. There's tons of them.
Yeah.
All right, we have another top five for you guys.
Yes, vacation and travel movies.
Vacation and travel movies.
This is a fun list.
These are this list I found was very...
This one was tough.
This was very vague. Like, there's so many different ways.
Because it's not just road trip. There's also vacation.
Because, and when you more think about it, like, there's a lot of different movies that could be considered road trip movies.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start. What is your number five?
My number five is... You know, it's not that prestigious, but...
Okay, my number five is not prestigious
My
either.
Number five is Road Trip. I had to go with the 2000 film with the college kids.
I have never seen it
You've
or heard of it.
You've never seen Road Trip?
I've never heard
You've
of
never,
it.
The Road Trip.
Nope, never seen it.
Dude, this one is funny.
All right, tell me about it.
It's hilarious. All right, well, yeah, it's a hard R movie with Sean William Scott in his great supporting character role.
Oh, my God.
You got Tom Green at his height of stupidity. Brecken Meyers, like, you know, he's the main guy, though. He's
okay.
The every guy. So it's about this guy who does a long distance relationship, but you know, they're thinking of, you know, breaking up because he just hears from his friends that, like, you gotta, like, explore in college.
Oh gosh.
So, you know, he gets with a girl and then something happens, right?
Yeah.
Something happens and he has to go all the way to his girlfriend's college, which is like a road trip.
Wow.
Hours to retrieve something, and it's just chaos ensues. There's just hilarious moment after hilarious moment with different side characters. It's actually heartfelt. You can relate. You have a great time.
Okay.
I really suggest
seeing it. Well, I'll definitely have to check this out, and I'm glad you didn't say Road Chip.
Road, no, Chip, no.
The Chipmunk movie.
Heck no.
All right.
But yeah, see Road Trip, dude.
I will definitely.
All right, what's your number five? It's also a Todd Phillips film, so.
Okay.
But when he was younger and actually tried.
I'm going to get hate for my number five. It is also a not very well-reviewed movie. It is Blended.
Blended?
Blended.
Drew Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler have chemistry. They have great chemistry, and I love The Wedding Singer. I love 50 First Dates.
I love The Wedding Singer.
Blended mixes the two of those so well. It's like they do such a good job. And I mean, yeah, there's stuff in Adam Sandler movies that are just ridiculous. Like him naming his daughter Espen because she's named after ESPN. Yeah. But if you watch this, there's actually like a lot of heartfelt like moments to it. And like it's got a lot of family feeling in it, despite not really being a family movie, because there's a lot of jokes in this that kids cannot hear. Because they're really just not very inappropriate stuff. But, like, in the end, it's about family. And, like, I really liked it.
It was a movie I was waiting. I was really early to another film. And so I went with my mom and watched, like, 20 minutes of Blended. And it was one of those things where it was enjoyable. It was in the middle of the movie. I just sat down in the theater and just watched where it was happening. And, like, you know, you're having a good time.
Yeah.
It's like a heartfelt.
And I mean, I've probably seen it like 3 or 4 times now. Really? Like I started watching with my dad, and it's like, oh, it's on TV. Let's watch this. And you know what? It works for me. They have times where they hint back to the original to characters from Wedding Singer and from 50 First Dates. Like I think is it 5 or 10 Second Tom?
Does Billy Idol make an appearance?
Billy Idol does not make an appearance, sadly.
Man, I like Wedding Singer.
I love Wedding Singer and 50 First Dates. I think I like a little bit more.
I saw it a lot when I was little. 50 First Dates.
I love their chemistry, and I think it's good, and I think it comes back in this movie. And it's a very fun movie. I don't know. Guilty nice. Pleasure movie.
Very nice.
All right, you're number four.
My number four is The Sandlot.
Sandlot?
It's a vacation. It's summer break.
Okay.
They're every day going to play ball. It's definitely, they go.
All right. That's like, okay, a summer movie.
We said vacation.
Vacate, but they're still in the same place.
This is a vacation.
Okay, you know what? This is such a vague category. I'll go with it. I was about to put The Hangover on mine.
Oh, yeah? Well, The Hangover works.
All right, what's?
But, yeah.
Sandlot.
Sandlot is like, every kid loves The Sandlot.
I haven't seen it in years.
You don't? Well, you don't have to like baseball like The Sandlot. Just because the characters, there's every kind of personality in the group. You know, you can relate to the guy who's like awkward trying to make friends, the cool one who's everyone's nice to. They got like the pudgy like catcher who just makes crazy jokes. It's such a quotable movie, like You're Killing Me, Smalls.
Yeah, I mean it's a classic. It's like
it's a classic.
Yeah.
There's tons of great situations in like growing up. Whether it's at the carousel, like doing the chew and like throwing up all over.
Again, there's definitely jokes in that are like not appropriate jokes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a dated movie, but like.
Was Sandlot rated R or was that Bad News Bears?
It was PG. Yeah, Bad News Bears was rated R.
Okay.
That one's definitely different.
I was trying to figure out the difference between the two. I was trying to figure out which one's which.
Dude, you should rewatch it. The Sandlot, as an adult, it's not like a kid's movie. Like
you're like, whoa.
It's actually really good. You got Dennis Leary in there, like as the dad. And, you know, you have that relationship between the stepdad and son and, like, becoming a family. There's just a lot of layers to this movie. And it's also really funny. Like, the pool scene with, like, the lifeguard. That's great.
It's definitely up there with all of those, like, kind of like the old, like, everyone needs to see them comedies. Like, Caddyshack.
Yeah. It's in the same group to me. It's really, like, just seeing it if you haven't seen it in a couple years.
I'll definitely take a look at it again.
What's your number four, bro?
My number four is an Oscar-nominated movie, Midnight in Paris. Owen Wilson.
Are you a Woody Allen fan?
I am sort of a Woody Allen fan. Not really.
I don't like Woody Allen.
I watched one Woody Allen movie, which was this, and I liked it. I mean, it's quirky. I'm not a big Owen Wilson fan.
I know.
I don't really.
I love Wedding Crashers.
I like Wedding Crashers, but like Midnight in Paris, it would have been better without him and somebody else. But it's still like It's a really quirky movie. He goes to Paris, and I mean, I went to Paris last summer, so it's kind of like, kind of was a cool watch rewatching. And it's like, okay, you see him go through the place, and I mean, I was there, and like, it was cool walking around that. And then it's kind of like him exploring this like writer's side of him, and it's really cool, and like going back in time, and it's a good movie. If you're going to Paris, watch Midnight in Paris, obviously, because like, you'll go and it feels like you're there, and it's a really like atmospherically great movie. And I think like the feeling of like being away and being in Paris, you kind of get while watching this. And that's where I think it kind of excels when I say in the top five vacation movies, because it really makes you feel like you're going away somewhere.
Oh, nice. Did you like Paris?
Loved Paris. Oh, yeah. All right, you're number three.
My number three is Stand By Me.
Stand By Me. Okay. Yep. We have very different lists. Something tells me your number one's not the same.
Styles, though. But Stephen King, you know, novel. Rob Reiner directed. This is, you know, as heartfelt.
Yeah.
Coming of age. The definitive coming of age movie with The Sandlot. But this one's like, you know, you're seeing these guys, they're going through stuff that they shouldn't be going through when they're like 13. Going to find
no
a dead
kidding.
Body. The performances
was
are great.
Stand By Me, Oscar. Was it an Oscar winner?
I don't think it won.
Okay. All right. But yeah, no.
It was nominated for an Oscar. But yeah, these four kids just have the best chemistry. Like, it's like The Sandlot, too, where like, you can believe that these kids are just having fun together, but this one's actually like, they're serious scenes.
Yeah.
So these performances are like, have to be good. And like Corey Feldman, he was a great child actor. The Goonies, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry O'Connell.
The Goonies.
Jerry O'Connell was the fat kid. Now he's like really chiseled.
Yeah.
But River Phoenix, gone too soon. He was awesome as like the character in that, where like he has the most backstory, most like edge to him. And it's just, it crushes you, that film. Like, because you're on this journey with them at like their best time in life, and then it like, you know, it makes you think about childhood and all your friends back then.
Yeah,
just how life brings you into different places, but you're still connected from when you were a kid.
We'll definitely have to do coming of age movies.
Yeah, that's
all
a good
right.
category. All right,
my number three is one movie I very grew up with, and this is like the definition of the road trip movie. I'm sorry, road trip. This is the definition.
Vacation.
No. It's a mad world. It is a great movie. They're going to find the money buried under the big W. They all have to find different ways of getting there. It's great. It's so much fun. And I think it's rated G. I think it's like it's a...
Is this with Mickey Rooney?
I think so. I never
watched it, dude.
They get confused with this and with...
Spencer Tracy's also in this.
I think people get this and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles confused too much, despite them being completely different movies. But It's a Mad World is like one of those movies I watched a ton when I was a kid, except this electrical scene scares me a little bit. But it's definitely the definition of a road trip movie. Everyone pairs off and they're all trying to get to this one place this one time first so they can get this money. And you just get to see all of them in their different places and all the crazy stuff they have to go through. One try to fly a plane, one drive. It's such a great family kind of fun road trip movie. And I think like, yeah, it's literally a race to get to this one place. And I grew up with it. My dad and I watched that movie so many times.
Nice.
All right. You're number two.
All right. Let me just say, 2 and 1 can go either way.
Same with me.
Like, it was very tough. But I'm going number two, Borat.
Whoa.
Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation.
Oh, my God. Borat? That's
this
awesome.
This is like classic comedy, dude.
It is hilarious. I never thought of it as a vacation movie. I'm like...
This is a road trip if there ever was one.
I'm going to go to a vacation, and I'm going to watch Borat.
Oh, man. It only has three actors in it. And then...
The actors.
They just interact with regular people.
And, I mean, Borat's got a lot of, like, subcontext, too. It's talking about how awful racism is.
Definitely.
And I think that's incredibly impressive. And I think that's what Sacha Baron Cohen doesn't really capture in the rest of his movies.
Yeah, no, this is far and away his best.
And Borat's hilarious.
Yes.
It is so funny.
Yes. There's situation after situation with people he interacts that it's just like, you can't help but just hysterically
and he is offensive to everybody.
He is just so real as this character. You cannot believe that he's a British guy just being a comedian. Because
British? I thought it was Israeli.
British.
Okay. He's Jewish.
He has a British accent.
Yeah. Very Jewish.
Yeah. But I don't know. This is just a genius comic movie.
Yeah,
I don't know how you come up with this.
I mean, it was from the Ali G show.
Yes.
And so like that was his character. And I think Borat was the character from that show that could carry a movie, and he does it so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like the Pamela Anderson thing is really hilarious.
Oh my god, it's hilarious.
His mission.
And it does have like an actual storyline. He does have to get there. It's just not a bunch of clips of him being Borat.
Yeah. If you're the right age, definitely you gotta see Borat.
I saw it when I was like way too young to see it.
Yeah, me too. The first time I rented it at Blockbuster because like there was so much hype about this movie.
We watched it on this tiny TV in my friend's bedroom, away from trying to hide it from our parents, and it was hilarious.
Really?
And they came in and we'd shut it off really quickly and make sure they didn't see it.
Were you a Blockbuster guy?
No, there was a movie rental place by my house that we always
got
to.
Blockbuster?
No, it was private.
Oh, I see.
Then it closed down.
Blockbuster was amazing. I miss Blockbuster.
Yep.
That's I want them to come back and like be like a hipster thing.
There is
like,
no way they will ever come back.
I can pick up a DVD and like look at it.
I know. The DVDs
it's like vinyl
are
records.
DVDs are history now.
That's true.
All right. Number two. I don't know how you didn't put this one on there. Airplane.
No.
Airplane is the perfect travel movie. It is the one of the best comedies of all time. Airplane is so funny. We just rewatched it for
funny.
A second.
It's not like my like cup of tea.
Oh my god, it's so good.
I just forgot one.
All right, honorable mention, throw it in quickly.
No, you finish yours right.
All right. Yeah, Airplane. Oh my god, there's so much you can say about this movie. The acting's like cheesy and it's hilarious, the different stuff, like the one guy trying to light him on fire and the woman and the pilot and his like kind of possibly homosexual comments to the little kid, and it's really weird, and it's like do you like, have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Do you like movies with gladiators? It's so well. Or the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar cameo, where he's pretending to be a co-pilot, and they keep saying, and then the one little kid's like, he's like, oh, my dad thinks you're not the greatest player and that you don't try hard. It's just so good. And there's so many quotable lines in that, like having a drinking problem where he just can't pour water into his mouth correctly.
Yeah.
It's really funny, and I just rewatched it, and it holds up so well.
Oh, nice. Airplane.
Airplane's so good. All right, what's your honorable mention?
My honorable mention is Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I'm just going to...
These are not vacation movies to me.
It's a travel movie.
It is a travel movie, they do. Don't get me wrong.
They travel the whole time.
Like, I love the movies you're talking about. I just didn't put them on my list.
Well, I mean, we did do vacation/travel.
Like vacation slash travel slash road trip slash I don't know.
Monty Python's hilarious.
Holy Grail's so funny.
Yeah.
But that'll be for another day. All right.
My number one might be the same. Dumb and Dumber.
What? Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumber.
No, that's not mine.
Man.
Oh my
this
god.
This is genius, I tell you.
That surprises me.
These are two comic legends. One is far and away better than the other one.
Yeah, like, Jim Carrey's the better part
Jim
of that
Carrey,
movie.
Jim Carrey, to me, is my favorite comedian of all time.
I don't like Dumb and Dumber. I don't find
A lot
it,
of people don't like it.
I don't
understand
find it funny.
It is hilarious. There is so much subtext. You have to, like, first viewing, I get it. Like, you think they're just idiots. But there's just so much more going on that it's just like...
But they're so... Their comedy's so annoying.
Oh, it's awesome. Yes, they're supposed to be annoying. That's the point.
I don't find the annoying part funny.
That is the whole point. It's annoying funny. Like, you meet people like this, but these guys just take it over to another level.
And a lot of people compare Airplane and Dumb and Dumber. I just can't see them because Dumb and Dumber is like dumb comedy.
Dumb and Dumber is better.
Dumb and Dumber is not better than Airplane.
It is better than
Airplane. Airplane is the better comedy.
No.
Airplane, well,
I don't agree.
This will be a debate for another day.
Jim Carrey is fantastic.
He is.
Jeff Daniels compliments him so well in this.
I don't really like Jim Carrey singly because I don't like the dumb comedy.
No, it's not dumb. It's huge, though. Like, it's dumb. That's the point. So it's not dumb. It's smart. It's smart comedy because it's dumb.
Do you or do you not like Zoolander?
I like Zoolander.
I cannot stand Zoolander.
I don't love Zoolander just because I don't think Ben Stiller sells it as much as like other people do. But like Jim Carrey's the most committed comic actor.
Okay,
ever
he is. He really shoves himself into a role.
Yeah.
And he like
And Jeff Daniels, you know, he's not on the same level. But
he's like, he's so kind of forgettable because he disappears.
Yeah. But like when you're starring with Carrey and something, it's like that's what
happens. Yeah, he's gonna blow you out of the water.
Yeah. So Dumb and Dumber is my number
one. I can't believe that was your number one.
And just the only suggestion I say is like see it another time because like think of it as something like that's the point and it just works so well. The Farley Brothers.
I tried rewatching Zoolander. I can't get through his dumb voice and his
Zoolander,
dumb.
Yeah, the character. Like I like the concept and everything. I like Will Ferrell in that a lot. And you also don't like Owen Wilson. I like Owen Wilson in that, but Ben Stiller himself, like, he's not the star of that, but I just think this one is...
I just don't like the dumb comedy. I don't like the annoying kind of...
This one, there's just so many situations that are hilarious. Like, giving the dead bird to the blind kid, like...
Yeah.
Pretty bird.
All right.
All right, you're number one.
I don't know how you left this off of your list. It's literally the name of our entire list.
Vacation.
National Lampoon's Vacation is the definitive vacation movie.
I don't think it's that great.
It is incredible.
Nah, it's not that funny to me.
Oh, Chevy Chase is amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
He's so... He, like, when they accidentally kill the grandma and have to strap her on the roof. Like,
don't you think that's more dumb than...
No, that's hilarious. It's not annoying. It's a difference between...
You're going to strap a dead grandma to the roof.
That's not annoying, though. They're not being annoying about it. It's hilarious.
It's dumb, though.
It's so funny. And, like, the whole point is, like, I've gone on so many road trips with my parents, and that's, like, the truest road trip movie. And they get together, and they're not going to, like, They're not going to have anything. And it's about the experience of the road trip being better than the end result. And so, like, it's all the stuff they've been through, no matter how awful it is beforehand, that they got closer as a family because of it. And I think that's so great. And it doesn't even wait to, like, explain anything at the beginning. They just get right into it. The scene where they're in Chicago, and they're in kind of the sketchy neighborhood. And he goes, look, guys, here's the local culture. And then you see one of the people come and say, oh, roll them up. They roll up the windows. Oh, it's so well done. And there's so many good jokes in that.
I prefer the Christmas Vacation one.
Christmas Vacation's fine. Vegas Vacation's...
I don't like the... spinoffs a lot. I think they're very flawed. And also Vacation, the new one. Did you watch that?
No, God,
I wanted
no.
to see that in theaters. It was so, so, so bad.
I'm not ruining National Lampoon's
Vacation.
No, Chevy Chase
is in there. No, it ruined it. And that's why I don't like Vacation. I like the movie itself. Yeah, it's good. But, like, I don't think it's, like, a classic. I get, like, you know, the journey itself is really fun. The family aspect is relatable and everything. But, like, the characters are so, like, you say dumb, like, Dumb and Dumber. You like, annoying characters. But that family is so stupid. Their choices and what they do.
Yeah, but they're
everything.
Not annoying. Whole point, Dumb and Dumber, their whole point of those characters is to be annoying. And I don't find annoying funny.
That's not the point. It's to interact with people and annoy those people. Not for us to be annoying.
But I find it really annoying. That's why, like, I find Ben Stiller's
Borat,
character.
That's not annoying for you? Like the Borat's, awkwardness between the characters? And,
Borat's awkward. And he's... Yeah. That's a whole different thing. He's not being like an idiot just to do that. He's being an idiot to bring other people's evilness up, pretty much.
We have different tastes. And
yeah,
like Vacation. You had Airplane and, you know, Mad World.
I don't know how you...
Dumb and Dumber is a classic.
National Lampoon's Vacation is a classic.
Yeah, but not to me.
All right. Well, we can agree to disagree.
We can.
Well, what's our next segment?
Well, Matt, why don't we go over, like, upcoming movies there, or, like, news with the upcoming films.
Okay, well, what news is coming out lately?
Well, it's not that far. I think the hype train has to get started for Captain America Civil
War.
Oh,
yeah, no kidding. Reviews have been coming out
this week.
Say it's incredible.
It's like 3 weeks.
I know. I'm going to be seeing that the Thursday night it comes out.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The reviews are insane for that so far.
Yep. People are saying it's one of the best action movies ever.
Not hearing any negatives.
Yeah. It's...
That's good.
I am so excited for that. I'm a huge Marvel fan. I think I'm going to watch all of the Marvel movies going up into that.
Yeah. There's a lot of good praise for Spider-Man.
I know. Which I thought there was no way that they could... I knew the movie would be good, but I thought there was no way that they could, like, do Spider-Man 100% justice, but it sounds like they're even doing that, and that's incredible.
I'm really excited for Black Panther as well.
Same.
Because I'm a huge Chadwick Boseman fan from 42. He's really good, and he got super chiseled for this movie, so...
And, I mean, I hear he's really good in that, too.
Yeah.
And everything we've seen for Civil War so far has been great, and from what people have been saying, that doesn't even scratch the surface.
Yeah. Have you... are you a Key and Peele fan?
I do not want to see Keanu.
You don't want to see... if there's not a Keanu Reeves cameo, there's something wrong here.
I think that my issue with what I saw about Keanu is that I wanted that movie to be more of a... If it's going to be called Keanu, I wanted it to be more of a joke on all of Keanu Reeves' career, not just a joke on John Wick. But what it seems like is it's literally just a joke on John Wick. And for me, Key and Peele kind of gets...
Old
really fast, and I don't think I can sit through 2 hours.
Like, I understand that, because their best stuff is like 5 minute skits, and now they're gonna make an hour and a half movie.
And their first couple of skits were great. Like, the Key and Peele East West Bowl still makes me die to this day.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't find most of their stuff after that. Like, I don't find Substitute Teacher that funny. I don't find, like, most of their stuff that good. Like College Humor, I think, is better than stuff they do. And I can't see myself sitting 2 hours in a movie of their stuff.
Oh, yeah. What do you think of the Doctor Strange trailer?
I honestly do not know.
You don't know.
What about you?
I think it looks awesome.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I trust Marvel to make a good movie.
I don't know if it's going to make total sense. It might be a little too, like...
wonky?
Yeah. Like, not mainstream enough. Like...
I mean, Guardians wasn't mainstream enough.
Guardians was different. It was very relatable, though. Like, you know, Chris Pratt made it so, like, this character's just a normal guy. But... you know, Doctor Strange, though, it seems like a little...
things be kind of Thor-like.
Yeah.
Except a little bit weirder.
Like, these are gods. They're, like, geniuses. They're not people, like, we can, like, relate to.
And I'm honestly just really curious about it. I don't think that teaser gave us anything, really.
Yeah.
Like, I know it probably gave stuff to the diehard fans of it, but I don't really read Doctor Strange, so I wouldn't really know.
I don't. Have you... are you excited at all for Secret Life of Pets?
I think it looks hilarious.
The cast for that's awesome.
Yeah.
They got Louis C.K. in there, my favorite.
He's good. And everything I've seen of it looks funny. It looks like we're going to get it's the year of the anthropomorphic animal movie.
It's funny, though, how these studios, like, group up movies like
that. Yeah, they all managed to release in the same year.
Yeah, that always happens.
But, I think Secret Life Pets looks really funny.
Are you
funny.
Excited for the BFG?
No, not at all. I think I'm not even going to see it.
Yeah.
I mean,
doesn't look good.
It looks... I bet you it's going to be great.
Spielberg.
It just doesn't look like my movie. That's like... I didn't find Hugo look that interesting.
Like Hugo.
And
this is Disney. But Disney does make good movies.
I don't know. It just doesn't really seem interesting to me. It seems very Matilda-like, and I'm not a big fan of Matilda.
I liked Matilda when I was little. Not anymore or anything.
It scared me when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
I don't like the scene with the nails coming in.
I like Danny DeVito.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
you ever see Mouse Hunt? It was, actually not Danny DeVito, it's Nathan Lane, but, it's just this mouse that, like, destroys a house from the inside. It's like, the dumbest comedy, but it's, like, it's a funny sitcom.
Okay, I mean, I'll probably take a look at it.
I don't know.
What about, did you see the trailer for, Swiss Army Man?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that movie looks incredible.
Swiss Army Man.
It looks heartfelt, it looks just... it looks...
that's an adventure.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It looks just so unique. I am excited for that, and I'm so sad I won't be in America to see it.
That stinks. I just want Paul Dano to just, like... he does so much indie. This is another indie film. I think that might be his preference, though. Maybe he doesn't want to do those big roles.
Maybe he just does better that way.
Yeah. He's had a good career, and, like, this one he's at the helm, and, like, Radcliffe's along with the ride.
I like it. I think it looks like a really interesting movie.
Did you like Looper?
I did love Looper. Same person?
I liked Looper. Well, no, he was just in it.
Oh, okay.
But, no, this is Dan Kwan, the director, is also wrote it.
It's so cool looking. It looks like it's not going to just be a joke, which is what, like, it's got, like, a connection between the two of them, which looks good.
These are, like, young filmmakers, so this might be an idea they've had for a while. And
I like it. I'm very excited to see that.
Did you see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one?
I did see it. I love them. I think
you loved it?
I think they're ridiculous. They're not that good movies, but they're fun.
The second one might be better.
Yeah, the second one does look better.
It has more turtles.
And that first trailer looks great.
Yeah.
That first trailer looked really fun.
The second trailer got released, I think.
Yeah, I saw it. It's fine. I'm worried about them doing Amazing Spider-Man 2 and spending so much time on Bebop and Rocksteady that Krang is kind of just wasted.
I hated the first one, dude.
The first one?
Yeah, the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, with Shredder?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, dude, it was so bad.
It was bad, but that was the fun part.
I did not enjoy it.
Parts of it were boring. It was just not a... if people were expecting anything big out of Ninja Turtles, then they were going to be disappointed.
I was expecting, like, more fun.
Oh, I thought it was tons of fun.
Less acting that sucked.
Oh, if you were expecting good acting in a Michael Bay Ninja Turtles
Will
movie.
Will Arnett would at least be funny, but he wasn't.
He was fine.
He was not funny.
And he's not even really going to be in this next one, I don't think.
Hopefully he's good in Lego Batman.
Oh, if he'll... I honestly don't know about Lego Batman because it's not the same people who did the first one. It's not Lord Miller.
Yeah.
those guys are, I think, what their writing and their like create directing of that movie is what made it so good.
Mm-hmm. This might just be a money ploy.
Yeah. That's what I am worried about. Worried about that they're gonna like,
you know, it'll bank off Batman.
And I don't know if not to Will Arnett's fault, if that Batman character, I don't think he can hold a film.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think that his character is, I think his character's pretty one note when it comes to jokes, and I don't think he'll be able to carry his own film.
Did you see the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them trailer?
Yes, that looks great.
Yes, it does.
We'll definitely talk about that when it comes out.
It looks awesome. What's a little curious is that actor Dan Fogler,
Which one's he?
He's the big guy.
Oh.
If you saw Balls of Fury,
which
came out like 10 years ago.
Wait, no, I never saw that. I saw Blades of Glory.
He's like, he did a lot of dumb comedies a while ago. Balls of Fury, which was like the ping pong one.
Yeah.
Just walking. My Best Friend's Girl with Dane Cook. Or not Best Friend's Girl, but one of those Dane Cook movies.
All right.
And like that comedy... Another dumb comedy. Like, yeah, I've never seen him in something that was good. And now he's in this movie as, like, the serious, like,
yeah,
like supporting. Like,
I think he's going to be comic relief.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen him, like, that funny, though. But I'm excited.
It will be an interesting thing. I think the trailer looks good, and they have a great... The thing I'm concerned about is the screenwriter is what's her name? The person who wrote the books.
J.K. Rowling?
Yeah, she's writing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But, like... she's never taken on a movie.
Yeah, she can do it.
I'll be interested.
She's writing a lot now. Like she did a play in London. She wrote the screenplay for a story about Harry Potter's son.
Oh my God,
Hogwarts, and that's probably going to become a movie.
I don't like her milking stuff. I think it's like
I don't think it's milking. People want it, dude. Like I understand milking, but like people are calling for more from this franchise. It's not like it's just dormant.
I mean, she has so much money.
Yeah, but there's such a good like. I want more with the characters.
Yeah, I would love to see more about Harry Potter.
And I just wish they didn't do that thing at the end where like they fast forwarded like 30 years. Yeah,
that was just dumb.
They could have like if she had just ended it. With like Harry saving Hogwarts and like ending the dark.
They could have waited.
Then like you could have had more come. Like, you know, with
you could have left Star Wars it kind of more open.
Like, yeah, exactly. This is a little more set that it has to be with this kid because like he's done.
I was just ready to close the book after the last one. I don't think like... Really? I feel like at some point series have to end. Like Lord of the Rings. Like it felt fully closed when the last Hobbit movie came out. Despite what people think about it, it was closed. Like we're done with Middle Earth. It's kind of sad. But we are done with it, and I wouldn't want to see another story from that universe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what I feel with Harry Potter is that I kind of was hoping the book would be closed, but I like where they're going specifically with Fantastic Beasts because it's set outside of like the London area.
Yeah. David Yates is back.
He is.
He did all the last Harry Potter movies, so the tone.
Director.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, he did well with like. Showing everything, so I'm excited for that.
All right, then there was the Rogue One trailer.
Yeah, it looks like a war film.
It looks great.
I don't know if it looks like I'm not. I have a little bit of worries. It looks a little Hunger Game like to me.
Hunger Game like.
Yeah, where like the characters, you know, just getting suckered in. Like she has the heart, and like you know the rebellion. Like,
yeah.
She says no to, like, you know, people telling her what to do. And she's gonna go in there. Like, I feel like everyone has to die at the end.
I mean,
I don't know if they're gonna do that, though.
I don't think everyone's gonna die. I think that it's more like... I'm excited with the fact that it's such a close... Like, a condensed story that I'm really happy about that.
But, like, they can't reappear. Like, they have to be gone. They either have to go into hiding or something.
Like, definitely.
So... I'm not sure how that's going to be. Forrest Whitaker looks pretty good.
He does. I don't really know where he's... I loved the AT-ATs. Never going to call them AT-ATs. I know that's canon to call them AT-ATs.
Who calls them AT-ATs?
Apparently you're supposed to, but I'm never calling them that. That's dumb.
Yeah, my friend said that once, and I was like, what?
They're not... Why? AT-ATs. They don't call AT-STs AT-STs.
We made him look like a fool when he said that. We were like, are you kidding?
No. All right. Well, we've got about 15 minutes left in the show today, guys. I totally forgot to do the station ID at the hour drop, but oh well. Why don't we wrap the show up? We don't.
Yeah.
But what's coming out next week, Matt?
Next week, nothing too great, or at least like, well, The Huntsman.
Huntsman Winter's War. I believe
no one really asked for. Did you ask for that?
No, but I have to see it. I think I write for the paper now.
Oh, nice. So that's not getting great. It has early reviews, like not a lot are in, but 16, which is really low.
But
the cast is really good.
It's like, every good female action star that's out right now.
Yeah, Jessica Chastain, who I don't think is that great of an actress. She just has a good presence on screen.
She's the non... What's the other woman? The other orange-haired woman that I...
Oh, yeah, I know. The one that looks exactly like her.
Yeah, that looks like an older version of her who's in, like, everything else. She's
Dallas
been...
something?
No. I don't know. Whatever. We'll figure it.
That Elvis and Nixon, that's an interesting story. It's
that looks very interesting.
Michael Shannon is playing Elvis Presley, and Nixon is played by Kevin Spacey. This movie's not getting a lot of hype at all. I heard about it like 2 weeks ago, but I think it's getting a limited release next week.
Well, that means we won't be seeing it.
No, but I'm interested to see Michael Shannon as Elvis. Like, that's something I'm excited. So keep your eye out for that. There's no, like, you know, words on how good it is yet, but Everybody Wants Some is another movie. Like, that's not being released next week.
Is it expanding yet?
I'm not sure, actually.
That's too bad. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to see Huntsman Winter's War instead.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. As for the Blu-ray release, this is the new segment. We're gonna do anything that comes out on Blu-ray or on video on demand. So that means this first will be the stuff that you'll be able to rent this week or buy on Blu-ray. That comes out this week is today is the 17th, which means this week The Revenant comes out on Blu-ray, which is definitely the top of the list of these.
Yeah.
Very great movie. Oscar. Revenant.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it,
it's worth it renting it and seeing it.
Yeah, just get ready for the violence, but I don't know, you can have your own opinion on DiCaprio. Like, I mean, it was a great performance, don't get me wrong, but like, if his emotion did the acting or the
physical
scenario and atmosphere.
All right. Another movie coming out, Lady in the Van. Never saw that.
Yeah, I didn't see Lady in the Van.
And 50 Shades of Black. Wow, that went from
Wayne's Brothers.
That went from theater to release very quickly. Yeah, that movie did not look good. All right. And then
all the X-Men movies are getting Blu-ray released. And
they are. Oh.
That's really interesting. I like the X-Men.
All X-Men. Separately?
All together.
Okay. They've been doing that for a while now.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
That movie's not getting much hype.
What?
The new X-Men Apocalypse. Now that the... everyone's just really excited for Civil War, which I totally understand.
I feel like that Civil War may overshadow it. All right. Nothing really big is coming out for digital release, really. Nothing else. Revenant's already out. But other than that, Lady in the Van, 50 Shades of Black. The Choice, I think. That's with Nicholas... It's a Nicholas Sparks one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Really. If you like the genre.
Yeah.
That genre does have a lot of fans. But, they're mostly, like, young.
But that's pretty much it. All right. Oh, yeah. One thing I should talk about before we go is I saw The Jungle Book.
Yeah. What'd you think, man?
Wow. That blew me away. That is the best movie that's come out this year.
Oh, really?
Like,
how was the kid actor?
He's incredible.
Really?
He's one of the best parts of that movie.
Is he looking like he's actually looking at the animals?
Really? He is. He does a really good job at like he's the passion that drives this movie, and that's what's really good about him. And that he's like, the movie would not work if it wasn't for him. And he really... It's crazy. He totally knows how to act. Like, he's great. And, like, he definitely helps sell the fact that all of these are real.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the CGI animals, these are just some of the most impressive things I've ever seen. Like, just listening to them, watching and listening to them talk, you just kind of can't even realize it. And
oh, wow.
It is, dare I say, better than the original. It's a different movie in its entirety.
Did you see the 94 live-action one?
No.
I grew up on that one. I mean, it's not great, but like I enjoyed it as a kid, so this one's going to blow it out of the water. It's just such a good story.
It is a movie I will show my kids when I have kids. It is one that every family that's out there should see. Yeah. It is such a beautiful film.
Nice.
It's better than Deadpool, honestly. And that's saying something.
You had more fun with it than Deadpool?
Different kind of fun.
Yeah,
and I think I would, but I'd go see this before I'd see Deadpool again. It's just, really? It's good for everybody. It's so great. And like they just, the characters are so well thought out.
Voices.
The voices are great. That's like, I think that the issues I had was, don't go into it expecting it to be a musical. There are songs in it, but they aren't really,
they're not the central,
they're not focus. The central focus of this. And I don't think, I think they either should have gone none or them in, and they should have stuck with it. And they kind of shifted, they kind of like flip flop.
They tried to make everyone happy, I guess.
Yeah.
Make it a, like, real film. Make
they kind of, Baloo and Mowgli, yeah, kind of like, they kind of like, yeah, acapella kind of sing, yeah, the Bare Necessities. And then Walken full out sings, like, I Want to Be Like You, but like only half the song. Hmm. And then it evolves. And like that, they should have just either gone with the whole thing. And then Scarlett Johansson, despite having a real full recording of it, doesn't actually sing her cause song in the movie.
Oh, well.
So,
I love John Favreau as a director.
He, you can see him all throughout, yeah, this.
My Netflix recommendation for the week is Swingers.
I want to see Chef.
Chef is good, too. That's also on Netflix. Just John Favreau week, guys.
Yeah. Like, and go see it. Go see it. Don't see anything else this next weekend except for seeing see Jungle Book. All right. So, that is about all the time we have for you guys this week.
Yeah.
Sorry for this really long hiatus, guys. It's been...
It's good to be back, though.
Yeah, it is definitely good to be back, and you can expect us here next week. And if you want to re-listen to this, if you're listening to it right now, you can listen to our show on WJRH.org now. We will post that link up on the Facebook page. We record all of our shows from now on. So yeah, if you guys haven't already, please like our Facebook page. It's how we'll tell you when we're on and everything like that.
Animatronic Dinosaurs.
Animatronic Dinosaurs. And if you don't already know, we usually are on from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. on Sundays. So please stay tuned, and we will see you guys next weekend.
Have a good week, everyone.
Good week, guys.